I've never seen my hand creases as an M before today. I like that. I like that. That's good. Our second scripture this morning comes to us from the Gospel according to Luke, and it is chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. Listen again for God's word to us. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. Sorry, I lost my place. And he said to them, What are you discussing with each other while you walk along? They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place in these days? He asked them, What things? They replied, The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women from our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they could not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, Oh, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and enter into his glory? Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near to the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is nearly over. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking with us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us? That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together, and they were saying, The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon. Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known in the breaking of bread. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. I'm curious, have you ever been in a moment, in a context, in an experience where you were doing something very run-of-the-mill, very ordinary, only to find it suddenly infused with the grace of God? Have you ever had an experience like that? Have you ever had your eyes opened or your perception expanded? An experience where everything seems to open up right when you were not expecting it. Because these disciples on their way to Emmaus, in a simple meal, experienced something just like that, something completely life-altering. And they were transformed in the middle of something very ordinary. They experienced something unforgettable, They would never be the same. And as they started along that road, they were probably thinking something just like that, that they would never be the same. These times were not ordinary or simple at all. And they had just been through utter devastation. These two disciples were grieving. They were confused. Surely they knew that their own lives might be in danger too. The one they followed was unmercifully killed just days ago, slaughtered by the few who held the most power. And they were sure to feel powerless because they couldn't know if they or their fellow disciples would be next. So these times were not ordinary. They weren't simple at all. But what could they do? Maybe they needed to do familiar things, things that were ordinary and simple, just to keep going. What else can you do in utter devastation but just keep putting one foot in front of the other? Simple things, walk down a road, stay a night, eat a meal. But then an unrecognized stranger walks right into it, right into their conversation, right into their grief, right into their confusion. Is he the only one in Jerusalem who doesn't know the utter devastation of this last week? They were honest with him. They told him what was causing their heartbreak. Their hopes were truly crushed. They told this unrecognized stranger how they felt. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. They had placed their trust and their dreams and their lives into this Jesus of Nazareth. And what now? Had it been for nothing? Nothing but heartbreak? Nothing but danger? Had it only led to fear that they or their fellow disciples might be in that kind of danger, people they loved? What now? What now? And so the disciples also told this stranger what was causing them the most confusion. They said, "Some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb just this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Of course, this was confusing. And what were they supposed to think about what had just happened a mere couple of hours ago? Do they dare hope again? Can they risk it? Can they risk believing again, trusting again that Jesus is somehow alive? It's interesting how transformation can begin, even in the midst of grief and confusion. Right in the truth of their emotions, Jesus makes himself very present. Haven't you understood what all the prophets declared? He turns powerfully to the scriptures, and beginning with Moses, he moves through the prophets, interprets the scriptures, giving hope to these disciples. Their hope, trust, and service were not in vain. Jesus had redeemed them and would continue to redeem them. He had suffered, but he would enter into the fullness of what God had designed, and he would live for them into that. He would be alive always, alive in them and alive beyond them. Alive beyond anything they could easily wrap their minds around. And here he was, standing right in front of them, right in the middle of a scriptural conversation. They didn't grasp the fullness of that truth yet, but they were affected by it. As they would say later, weren't our hearts burning within us when he talked with us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us? simple, ordinary road, a transformative experience. Who was this unrecognized stranger? Who was this one who could ultimately open their eyes and their ears and their minds and all that they were with this ancient word of Scripture? Who was this one who could suddenly open their hopeless hearts in an ordinary moment? What had just happened? They didn't know who he was, but they were eager to learn more about this stranger. The day was almost ending. It was almost evening. "Stay with us," they said. And he went in to dwell with them. Hospitality. That's an ordinary custom, a kind one, but an ordinary invitation. But they were somehow able to sense that this stranger was sharing hope that was far from ordinary. They needed him to dwell with them right in that grief and confusion. So once more, in an ordinary place of lodging, everything was changed, and they would never be the same. They sat down for an ordinary meal, and it became a holy moment. It was suddenly infused with the grace of God. When the stranger took the bread, he blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. They recognized him. They recognized him for who he was. This was Jesus made alive right in the breaking of bread. They recognized him in and through the relationship they had experienced with him. He had poured out love toward them many times before. When Jesus blessed, broke, and gave bread, he pledged to give himself. And in receiving this bread, they received his love, his identity, his calling, and the revelation that they could actually put their hope and trust in him. So they were instantly transformed. And even though they had journeyed from Jerusalem to Emmaus, they immediately got up and returned to Jerusalem that very hour. I wouldn't be surprised if they ran. They couldn't keep this revelation to themselves. They couldn't keep this transformation to themselves. So after an encounter with the risen Christ, they were sent forth to share this with others, the breaking of bread, an ordinary moment that was transformative beyond imagination. So I'll ask my initial questions again. Have you ever had an experience where you were doing something totally ordinary, run-of-the-mill, only to suddenly find it infused with the grace of God? Have you ever had an experience like that? Have you ever had a moment of awakening right in the middle of something very routine? Have you ever had your eyes opened, an experience where everything seems to open up right when you were not expecting it? The truth is, we all experience run-of-the-mill, ordinary events. And sometimes we're unable to see the grace of God right in front of us. Sometimes we're unable to see Jesus, the Christ, right in front of us. And even though deep down we do believe that every moment is infused with the grace of God, sometimes we don't really pay attention. Sometimes we stop expecting the love of God and the calling of God to find us and claim us. And sometimes our minds just vacillate between the past and the future. We get stuck mulling over the past. We get stuck planning and over-planning and feeling anxious about our future. There's nothing wrong about being reflective about the past or the future. But sometimes we neglect the present moment right in front of us. We don't pay attention to it. In fact, we are in a state of what one psychologist calls constant partial attention. I wonder what we miss along the way. Years ago, I was in another church service, and during the sermon, Judy Skaggs, a pastor I used to work with, told this story that's worth repeating. She said that there had been a retreat, and Brian McLaren, a theologian, had asked all the people to participate in an exercise. So he split the group in half. And he said, he had this video he was playing. He said, on this side, I want you to watch the two people in white shirts who are going to pass a ball back and forth to each other. And on this side, I want you to watch the two people in black shirts pass a ball back and forth to each other. I want each side to try to count how many times the ball is passed back and forth. Okay, ready? And then he said, go. So the ball was passed back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and they all concentrated trying to count. He said, okay, stop. How many times was the ball passed back and forth over here? And people began to shout out numbers. And he said, okay, oh, how about over here? And people began to shout out numbers. And then he said, how many of you saw the gorilla? What? Sure enough, while they were focusing on these balls being passed back and forth, a man in a whole gorilla suit walked right down the middle of this video in plain sight, but almost every single person missed it. How on earth do you miss a man wearing a big gorilla suit? They had narrowed their focus. Now, granted, they had been asked to do that. This was part of the exercise. But they had missed the most obvious thing right in front of them. And that's a silly analogy, but don't we sometimes do the exact same thing? And so what do we hope to experience when we come to worship? Are we fully present here when God is so graciously present with us? And will our hearts and our eyes be open to see Jesus with us, among us? I learned once that the sign for hope in American Sign Language is a combination of the signs for think and expect. Think, expect, hope. Do we enter this place with our minds ready to think through the scriptures? Do we enter this place ready to expect Christ's presence with us when we break the bread? Do we enter this place daring to put our hope in him, to see his presence in the lives of people who are sitting in these pews or up here? Do we expect that? Do we expect that we will be sent out from here with a sense of transformation, that we can experience this, that we can share this love, maybe in places where others aren't quite expecting it? I think this process is part of what it means to be a Christian, a follower of Christ. And I think this teaches us to pay attention because God is present with us everywhere. Those moments of the Spirit with us everywhere. God is loving us and forming us and fashioning us at every turn. And when we get too narrow, maybe sometimes we need each other to remind each other to keep looking and perceiving and hoping and expecting. So today, I hope that Jesus meets us here. We know that he is among us, that the Spirit is among us, but may we have the ability given by God to perceive, to know this love, and to share it with others. Thanks be to God. Amen.